Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Orlando Antunity in for Stokely and Zach. How are you, my man? Good working with you again.
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I love this one because I get to talk to you about your wheelhouse, the offensive line of the Denver Broncos. I love it because last time we worked together, there were still some questions. We got to talk about Mike Munchak because he got hired, and now we got some pieces to work with on this Denver Bronco offensive line. Listen, we know it was one of the weaker units last year. Do you like where they're going? Is it still one of the weaker units, or where is it heading now with the addition of James? But they did lose some other key guys.
It's the second weakest unit on the team right now, next to the inside linebacker position. But they have made some improvement with the addition of Juwan James, a guy that's played under Chris Cooper the last 3 years in Miami. It goes hand in hand. It's a perfect fit for them to get back together. Juwan James is a 26-year-old tackle that the Broncos have had issues the last, 5 years has it been?
Yeah.
With 11 different offensive tackles that they brought in to, and at some point were the guy. So now it just creates that stability, bringing in a guy like Juwan James, young guy, and you hope that he could just stay healthy. You know, throughout his career, that's one thing that has been an issue. Out of the 5 years that he played in Miami, he's only played two of the years the whole season. So that's an issue, and you never want to pay a guy and make him become the highest paid position player at that position and have to worry about the injuries. So that's my only hesitation when it comes to Juwan James, how healthy he's going to be. But when he is healthy, he's a guy that has great footwork. I mean, it's almost like he could play on the right side or the left side because of how athletic he is. But he looks like he's very intelligent. And just watching him play against Khalil Mack last year, and you know, and we all know what Khalil Mack did in Chicago last year. Well, Juwan James had a great game against him, was able to shut him down.
But in terms of moving up, right? I mean, look where you were talking about, from the weakest to the second weakest. Is what room is for improvement? Where do you see they need to continue to kind of get this to the level where they're protecting Joe Flacco consistently?
Well, we're going to need a guard. I mean, we're going to need a guy that's going to come in and play. You know, with Ron Larry, and the last 2 years of his career, and just not being able to play 16 games, not being able to finish the season for the Broncos, at this point, you can't count on them. You can't count on them to somehow, some way, put together 16 games this year. So you're going to need a guard that's in that rotation. And then with Elijah Wilkinson, love what he's doing, young player. I think he's very physical. I think he'll be a great addition to that right guard position. But I'm just looking at the left guard position. Right now, the guy that the Broncos have penciled in, that his injury guarantee just became, he just got $6 million out of the $8 million that he's scheduled to make this year, got guaranteed yesterday because of the injury that he sustained last year with the Achilles during the season. I can't have a bunch of confidence in him, Tony, because he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't put together 16 games since he's been in a Denver Bronco uniform.
Flat out. I mean, look, Matt Paradis, letting him walk, mistake?
I don't think it's too big of a mistake. I think you're going to take a blow if Connor McGovern cannot take care of the football and get it back to him. But I was arguing before they brought in Joe Flacco that Matt Paradis was a huge part of a piece to the puzzle that they had to bring back, because that was with Case Keenum or the Broncos going with a younger quarterback, because he's an older guy that understands defenses really well, but is also able to recognize where the blitz is coming from and be able to audible into sliding the offensive line into that blitz. With Joe Flacco now, Matt Paradis became a little bit more expendable because Joe Flacco's won 26 games in the fourth quarter. So that tells me right there he's highly intelligent and he understands exactly where the blitz is coming from, because in those two-minute drills at the end of games, that's when defenses are throwing everything at you. And Matt Paradis would have been a guy that would have been able to pick all that up. But now we know Joe Flacco could do that because he's won 26 games in his career on the glass drive of the game.
So John Elway says, look, we didn't want to lose Matt, but we got some concerns about the ankle. Didn't work out. He's happy. Hope it works out, but considered they had concerns about the ankle. You buying this, or is this a money thing?
I think it's a money thing. I honestly believe it's a money thing, because Matt Paradis was going to get a deal wherever there was going to be a market for him. He was by far the best center that was on the market this year. I mean, Matt Parrott is better than Morris, the guy that left the Chiefs that went to Buffalo, that signed with Buffalo the day before. Matt Parrott has had to sit on the market because of the injury. And when you do have those injuries, teams that want to bring you in for a physical before they say, hey, you know what, this is what we're going to give you. So his market was going to be a little bit slower because he had to go take a physical wherever with whatever team decided to bring him in. But he's been a staple and just a constant person on this offensive line. The only guy that's been constant for the last 4 years. And for the Broncos to get rid of him, he was playing at a high level before the injury. But it seems like that's what the Broncos do. When yeah. offensive linemen get hurt, they just get rid of you. Unless you're fortunate, like a guy like Ron Leary, to have that injury guarantee where they have to keep you. Other than that, they just get rid of you whenever you get them lower leg injuries. I saw it happen with Chris Cooper in 2011. At the end of the season when he had his lower leg injury. Well, immediately after that, the Broncos restructured and wanted him to take less. I saw it happen with J.D. Walton. Well, as soon as he had his injury in 2012, well, the Broncos decided to get rid of him. That's just how they have always done. When they bring in guys and they draft their own guys, you get hurt, okay, they throw you to the wolves.
It is kind of amazing. Every time you have that idea of, is it this or money? I tend to lean towards money all the time. I mean, whenever I'm deciding what a team wants to do or what decision they make, I always lean towards money for no matter what they say. They can say everything under the sun. They can give me every reason not to believe it. But in the end, I always gravitate towards money.
Let me ask you a question, Tony D. Look at Matt Paradis' career.
Yeah.
Drafted in 2014, comes in, is basically red shirts, is put on practice squad that year. I mean, he's a completely different type of body frame and for the offensive line that we were in 2014. We were a power scheme. Matt Paradis' body type suggests him to be a zone scheme. So basically, you redshirt him. You also redshirt Michael Schofield. Then the next year now, Matt Paradis becomes the starting center for the Denver Broncos. Then he wins a Super Bowl. He snaps to Peyton. He snaps to Brock. There's no pre-snap penalties on Matt Paradis. There's no low snaps. He's getting the ball exactly where he needs to get. Then after that, now you go 9-7, and then you go 5-11. During those 2 years, he's not able to lift weights as far as for his legs because he has the hip issues. But he's there week in, week out, all 16 games, right? So now his contract is up, Tony. And last year, they tender him. And he signs the tender. You know, at this point, he's already won a Super Bowl. He's already been to some Pro Bowls. He still signs the tender with the Broncos. He says, you know what? I want to stick this thing out. And I want to be with this team. And then after that now, when he signs the tender, there's no offer extended to him.
Yeah.
He has to play that tender. And now the talks heat up after the season, after he's already missed a couple games. And if I'm Matt Paradis, it's just like, why? Why would I do that? I would feel so disrespected at that point because you had so many opportunities. I didn't hold out. I said, okay, you guys are going to put me on the tender. I could have held out and not signed the tender and waited and not showed up to training camp. No, I was there for all OTAs. I was there for all training camp because I believed in this team and I want to work with my brothers each and every day to get this team better. Well, the Broncos turned their back on him by not extending the offer. So I would have felt disrespected, and Matt Paradis is right to feel that way. As soon as he signed that deal, Tony, I texted him. I said, good job, man. I'm proud of you. You earned every penny.
All right, so let's go to the defensive side of the ball of the Broncos, reviving the no-fly zone. Orlando and I will tackle that next. Orlando Franklin and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. Orlando, are you an early bracket filler guy, or do you wait till, like, the last second?
The crazy thing about it is we got our brackets going on against all the hosts, and this is the first time I've ever filled out a bracket.
No way. Come on. You've never filled out a bracket before?
I have never filled out a bracket before. Yesterday, I was calling people and asking them, like, hey, like, how much do you know about college basketball? Can you help me out? I can't get embarrassed in the fan league. And so I narrowed it down to two potential candidates that are going to help me out. But, yeah, I need help. I've never.
That's
I've
great.
Literally never filled out a bracket before.
So when somebody tells you, oh, take a 12 over a 5, you've never had a chance to do that. Like, you've never, ever process that tip.
Yeah, so I've seen games where I watch college basketball and when March Madness starts and you always see someone get upset in the first round or even in the second round and you're like, whoa, like how did that 12 beat that 3 or that 4 or that 5? But it happens, right? So, I mean, yesterday I was taking that into consideration when I looked at the bracket, but then I was like, man, I don't know anything about this. So let me just make a few phone calls and see if I could get a little bit of help with this.
Every year I do the same thing. I get the bracket and I think I'm going to overanalyze it and process it and look up the teams and figure out. And then I never do. I just fly through it. And I'm like, let me just get this through and then I'm done.
Yeah.
And I just walk away. I mean, Every year I do it.
Hey, that's a great way to do it. I mean, from what I'm understanding, you could fill out more than one. I mean, I got one with a couple of my friends in a group chat and they're saying, hey, you could fill out, we're doing like $10 a bracket. So, I mean, and there's like eight of us in there. So I'm going to fill out like three and just hope for the best. Keep my fingers crossed.
You never know. And nobody who really knows a ton about college basketball end up wins this thing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So these people who just randomly guess and get them right. Yep. You can register for the Fans 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. Compete against us. You can host your office pool and your chance to win $5,000. Register at 1043thefan.com. That's 1043thefan.com. All right, let's get to the defensive side of the Broncos. Reviving the no-fly zone. The addition of Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, is it coming back, Orlando?
Going in the right direction. It is absolutely going in the right direction. Right now, the Broncos have Chris Harris Jr. They got Justin Simmons. They got Suwal Cravens, Will Parks, and they got the two additions in Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson. Kareem Jackson has a step on everybody because this is the defense that he's played in his whole career. And he played under Ed Donatell and Vic Fangio while he was in Chicago. So he has a step on everybody because this is all he knows. But he's going to be a huge help for guys like Chris Harris, Will Parks, Justin Simmons to help those guys get caught up in as far as the ins and outs of this defense. So I'm extremely excited. When I look at these guys and look at the versatility of them, now we got Chris Harris Jr. that can play either side of the field but also play on that slot receiver. Well, we got Bryce Callahan that could do the exact same thing. Kareem Jackson could play either side of the cornerback positions but also play safety and be that hybrid type safety that's in the box. So it's exciting because when you create so much versatility, now you're rolling because now every one of these guys, Tony, have to learn the whole picture. It's not like they could just learn one position. No, they got to be able to understand the whole picture and understand exactly where they're going to get their safety help, exactly when they're by themselves, because they got not only do they have to know one position, they got to know the other position because they played two and three positions. So it's a great time to be a Bronco safety, and it's going to be rocking. You know, we saw it as soon as Vic Fangio came in here. We said, hey, the Broncos are going to get back to that 2015 and winning games defensively. Then he brought in his boy Ed Donatell to be his eyes in his eyes in the sky, because you know Vic Fangio has always called the defense for being in the press box. But now you went and got Kareem Jackson. You went and got Bryce Callahan, a guy that's been in Vic Fangio's system, understands it. But Kareem Jackson is your hitter. He's your guy that had 70 tackles last year. He would have been third on this team last year had he been on the Broncos. So it's extremely exciting. And now you got to see what these young guys are going to do. Will Parks has earned the right to get more reps. Now we got to see how Suwal Cravens is going to come along because, you know, Vic Fangio is a no-nonsense guy. Tackling is not negotiable. No death by inches. You know, we're not going to hurt ourselves. Well, last year, Suwal Cravens had some little bit of issues after games in the locker room, and we saw some healthy scratch. So now we're going to see if Suwal Cravens could put the shenanigans and the whole being a child behind him and be able to grow up on this team and be a great part of this defense that has the potential to be something special.
And what I like about Kareem Jackson, I mean, obviously versatility, being able to play safety, being able to play corner is always good in any scheme. But for Vic Fangio, that's exactly the kind of guy that fits in what Vic Fangio does.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the more versatile you can be, and that's with any position. I mean, with anything. I mean, even at the quarterback position, I mean, if you see Drew Brees go out there at wide receiver when they put in Tyson Hill. You saw last year Joe Flacco lining up there at wide receiver when they put in Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, anytime you could keep a person out there and now be able to create some trick plays, you know, a play where Lamar Jackson throws the ball to Joe Flacco backwards and Joe Flacco lets it fly. I mean, it just gives you a better opportunity out there. So the more versatile guys could be, the better it is. And we know that that's what Vic Fangio likes on his defense. And they went and got two guys that are very versatile. You got to think about this, Tony. Last week, when the free agency started, the Broncos had two cornerbacks that we knew about, Chris Harris Jr. and Isaac Yiadom. Isaac Yiadom coming off the shoulder surgery. We don't know when he was going to be available, but we know he's not going to be available next month when OTAs start. But they went and addressed that position and that room immediately. And the Broncos did a good job in the type of players that they went in. They didn't look at players and say, hey, I just want a guy that could play one position. No, we want guys that could play multiple positions, because with injuries and the NFL being 100% injury rate, that's what it's going to take to win week in, week out.
Pass rush, though, this is a concern. Is there enough up front to help the pass rush, to help the new no-fly zone, if that comes to fruition?
Oh, is there enough up front for the pass rush? Absolutely. Yep. I mean, you got two guys that were in the top 10 last year. You know, Bradley Chubb as a rookie went in and had more sacks last year than the Oakland Raiders defense as a whole. So he's only going to get better. And you know Von Miller, he got challenged by Vic Fangio immediately when Vic Fangio got here. And Von said, you know what, challenge accepted. So I anticipate both those guys are going to play a lot better this year to come. Von Miller's going to be able to get just cut it loose, because that's what Vic Fangio does. We saw last year with Khalil Mack and how they lined him up on different guys and let Khalil Mack just expose guys. So Von Miller's going to be that type of guy. But also Bradley Chubb is going to make that jump, because it's his second year. He understands it a little bit better. And he's going to be able to transition into a second and third move a lot more better. And he's going to understand the game. It's going to starts slowing down for him at this point.
All right, so with this defense, the moves in free agency, how many more wins does that mean? How does it rank them in the AFC West? Orlando and I will tackle that next. Orlando and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. Orlando's never filled out a bracket. I still can't believe it.
Come on, I'm don't do me like that. Let's just leave that alone.
I can't believe you've never filled out a bracket. I can't. Is a goof?
Yeah, no, I have never done it. I mean, I'll tell you, I'll take it even one step further. The first time I played fantasy football was last season.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this. Now, did you go into fantasy football as a former player a little begrudgingly? Because I don't know. Is that a popular thing among players?
There's some teammates that would have their fantasy football and give fans the opportunity to join and play in their league. But I never did it. I just wasn't interested in it. I mean, so I just looked at it and said, hey, this is not for me, but I enjoyed it last year. I can't wait till next year. I thought I made some mistakes, and you know, I came in last year and was like, oh, I'm not trading anybody. Like, people are sending me trades, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. You know, because I had like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and I'd start them each and every week, and they would just ball out for me. But I also had like Galladay on the bench, and then I would have Golden Tate as well as my flex. So people saw how many wide receivers I had, and every week someone would send me a trade offer, and I was just like, no, I'm not doing that, because I also had Saquon Barkley in that league, and it worked out really well until Odell Beckham got hurt, and then everybody just stacked the box, and Saquon had a little bit of a rough patch at that point. So I should have traded a little bit earlier and got a number two running back.
I remember driving into Denver early for a Broncos game years ago, and I was listening on the news, and one of my starters, I think it was TJ Houshmandzadeh or someone, was hurt, and I had him starting. So I frantically called my house, and I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to walk you through this. I need you to dump him and put in another wide receiver. And she's like, what? So I walked her through the whole process of like, you got to log in, then you got to hit X, then you got to move him over to this pile, and then you got to grab another receiver and put him in. So after I was done, she just paused and goes, don't ever have me do that again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, exactly. I couldn't even imagine if I would have asked my wife to do that. She'd be like, what? No, I'm not doing that. Like, you figure it out. Like, exactly. Just stop the car. And well, you're talking TJ Houshmandzadeh, so that was probably before iPhones, right?
It was a long time ago. You couldn't do it immediately on your phone. I had to go to the desktop. I couldn't even do it on. But I wasn't going to get to a place where I could do it with my laptop until it was too late.
Yeah.
And she didn't care. She didn't want to listen to that nonsense.
It's not like today, right, where there's a Starbucks on every corner. So exactly. If you only have a laptop, you can figure it out.
Especially with the phone. Doing it on the phone is much easier.
Yeah.
All right, so Orlando, we talked about the offensive line getting a little bit better, but still some concern. Duff talked about the defense with the addition of Jackson and Callahan and still on the front, how strong that is. Okay, looking at all this, though, in terms of how much Denver has moved in the perception of the AFC West, better, stable, still unknown? Do you like where they rank in the division based on moves on other teams?
Well, I think right now at the top of division is still the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. I mean, they need some pass rushers, but they got everybody coming back on that offense, which they're just rolling. And when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, we saw it last year in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you're never out of the games, especially when you're playing a team like New England that just completely dismantles the Rams 2 weeks later in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But Kansas City was down for majority of that game and still found a way to fight back and be competitive and take that game into overtime. So I think Kansas City's still at the top. Then I'm going to say the Chargers are next. I mean, I just don't see them slowing down either. And the Chargers are a little bit built better, you know, as far as offense and defense. You know, they're the team that has the complete package. You know, when I look at the Broncos, they're going to be third in the AFC West right now. Even with the moves that they made, I mean, I love the moves, but let's be honest, they had to make those moves. I mean, you look at Kansas City. Well, you got Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. You look at the Chargers. They got Kareem Allen and Mike Will. You look at Oakland. Well, now they just got AB. We're going to see what they do with the number two wide receiver spot, but they also got four picks in this year's draft in the top 35 picks. So they're going to be able to address a lot of their needs. So Denver's becoming more of a complete team at third in the AFC West, but they're going to have to go get better at the inside linebacker position. I love Todd Davis on first and second down. Love Josie Dula on first and second down as far as being able to stop the run, but we don't have that linebacker that we don't need to make a complete overhaul change and go nickel when a tight end is in the game, or go dime when a tight end is in the game, because we don't have the guys that can cover tight ends right now. So we got to go get a linebacker where now he's a three-down linebacker, sideline to sideline, and on third down he's still on the field calling the defense, but he could cover a tight end or he could cover the running back coming out the backfield. So I would say the Broncos right now with the free agent acquisitions that they made over the past week that in the AFC West, they're about third, but they're climbing. They're definitely climbing. They're going to be able to compete against Kansas City better than they did last year. They're going to be able to compete against the Chargers better. I mean, I know we won one against the Chargers and won one against Oakland. You know, I think the Broncos are always going to have the ability to sweep Oakland. And, you know, they might be able to pull out two wins against the Chargers and win one, whether here or in KC, against Kansas City.
So in terms of the way you see this team that's making all these different changes, I mean, including a quarterback, crying out loud, and the coaching staffs and the back, you know, the secondary, where do you expect this Broncos team to be better than last year? Where do you think they improved enough that there's a significant difference from what you saw from last season?
Well, last year, the Broncos quarterback threw 18 touchdowns. So I wholeheartedly
believe. That's probably
where
it starts.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that Joe Flacco is going to come in here and throw more than 18 touchdowns.
I hope so.
I mean, yeah, I would hope so, too. You just traded for him. I mean, he's a guy that seems like he has a chip on the shoulder because of his situation last year and getting benched ultimately. Getting hurt. Then when he was available, they still decided to go with Lamar Jackson. Then in a playoff atmosphere, and when you know that you're one and done and Lamar Jackson played so horribly in the first half of that game, they still did not make a change at the quarterback position. So you would think that he has a chip on his shoulder that he's going to come in here and throw more than 18 touchdowns. And I also anticipate this offense being extremely better, night and day, basically a 180 on third down. You know, last year, more often than not, third down and however it may have been, as long as it was a third down and passing situation, 5+, it seemed like the ball almost every time got thrown short of the sticks. So I anticipate the Broncos to be a lot more aggressive with Rick Scangarello calling this offense, but also with Joe Flacco and his competitive nature to be able to throw the ball down the field and try to convert and not throw the ball short of the sticks, where now the wide receiver needs to make an incredible move to get past the defense that's covering them in order to get that.
So it's too early to obviously think about wins and how much it translates. We don't know how other teams are going to look and what it's going to be when we get to the fall and get to the schedule. But do you think this team in the end has the appearance of looking better week in and week out than last year?
Yes, absolutely. Bradley
so
Chubb,
win or lose. Yeah. I mean, even if they lose games, they look better losing than they would than they did when they lost games last year.
Yeah, and we're not going to expect to lose. There were games last year that you kind of expected to lose. As soon as Case Keenum got down, you were like, well, they're not going to be able to crawl out of this. They're going to be more competitive, and they're going to compete for four quarters. And that's all you could ask for from a team, because this is the NFL, Tony. I mean, it could go either way week in, week out. It is hard to win football games. You start off the week, and you're just trying to figure out a way to go 1-0. And the other team is trying to do that. All 32 teams have hopes and dreams, and they start off with the same common goals. Well, they start off with two of the same common goals. One is to win your division, because if you win your division, you're automatically in the playoffs. And then the second goal is to win a Super Bowl. And you got to compete each and every week. So are the Broncos in a better position this year than last year as far as to go out there and compete? Absolutely.
Orlando, give me an idea, because I look at all these pieces, and sometimes there's an outside view of this where there's so many pieces and so many different things coming in, and you may be better in certain areas, but there still may be question marks in other areas. But the idea that all of this coming together to make a better unit at this position, a better unit at that position, to me, there's always that argument that there's so many new pieces, it doesn't always work out. But this doesn't feel that way at all. Why is it in the NFL that you feel like you can just add, or replace and not miss a beat, not miss a beat through cohesiveness or any of those other things that plague other teams? You hear about this in the NBA all the time, where those pieces just don't fit. It's a different sport, I get it. But it doesn't seem in the NFL it works like that. It seems like if you just add better, you're better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody believes that because you start off with the same amount of money. Everybody has a salary cap. It's not like the NBA where, you know, you could max pay certain guys and then you don't have to spend some of the salary cap and then you could use it next year. There's a lot more different things going on in these other sports. So in the NFL, there's always that one salary cap number. I believe it's $188 million this year. So every team thinks that, hey, we're going to be all right because of that. But they all get a first round, a second round, all the way to a seventh round pick. Everybody has opportunities to evaluate guys that they believe that are going to be undrafted free agents, and everybody has opportunities to bring those guys in. You know, I think a priority free agent is what, $10,000 or $15,000 signing bonus? I mean, so everybody thinks that they're going to have that opportunity to throw that money at a kid that's young that just went undrafted in the draft to bring him in. So everybody, each and every team, I feel, just looks at it and says, hey, you know what, we could get over the hump. We are one piece away. We're not that far away. And that's what you see. I mean, look at Cleveland the last couple of years. You know, they always believed that they could go win games. And you'll see them week 16 against the Chargers when they were going to have a season with no wins. And then they beat the Chargers. And it's just like they're fighting and fighting. And they keep on fighting. And now, look, they go get the quarterback. And all of a sudden, now you go get Olivier Vernon from the New York Giants. And then you also trade for Odell Beckham. And now it's just like, whoa, like Cleveland's the favorite to win that division. You know, they might come out. It would be in the AFC Championship game this year. Like, anything could literally happen.
All right, the morning show talked about this issue about where the Broncos rank in the AFC West this morning. Here's what Stink had to say about it.
I think the Raiders have definitely gotten better, but they were so far behind the curve that I still don't think they have moved up that much. Still think they're squarely at number four. I think the Chargers in L.A., with what they have and the roster they've constructed, I think they're the number one team. Here's the interesting part with the Broncos. I think they've moved up. I think they're a better football team. As you said, Mike, maybe one or two wins, maybe three wins better, getting them to round 8-8, 9-7, somewhere in there. But here's the interesting part. Where do the Kansas City Chiefs sit? Is Mahomes, in his second year as a starter, going to have the same type of effect that he had in year one? I think he'll regress to some point. And then they've gotten rid of all their defensive stalwarts, right? So I'm sitting there saying right now the Broncos have pulled even with the Chiefs. And they're very close, depending upon, again, Tyreek Hill. If he ends up being suspended, I think the Broncos become the number two team.
All right, you agree with this, Orlando? Could they be the number two team in this division?
Tyreek Hill suspended, that's a game changer.
Yeah, that totally is.
It is absolutely a game changer. That's a Pro Bowl wide receiver, and the year before was a Pro Bowl returner in this league. So if Tyreek Hill gets suspended, yeah, I mean, And the thing about the Kansas City Chiefs that you look at is defense. I mean, who do they really have on that defense? Yeah, you went and got Tyrann Mathews. But who is going to rush the quarterback? Is Chris Jones just going to do it? Well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit more of an issue because now you just have to double-team Chris Jones, play in and play out. I mean, is Chris Jones a Aaron Donald type that could actually split the double-team and be productive, get him double-teamed week in, week out, play after play? He's not there yet. You know, maybe he becomes that, but he's not there yet. So when you look at it and you look at that defense right now, I think of two people on that whole Kansas City defense, and that's Chris Jones and that's the Honey Badger, and that's all that it have. The Broncos are like San Diego in the aspect of complete teams. You know, they got some offensive players, they got some defensive players. Kansas City right now, you just think of an all offensive team.
There was a wide gap last year between where the Broncos were and where the Chargers were in the Chiefs in terms of them two battling the division. Can we imply by this with Tyreek Hill, the unknown, right, if he's suspended or not, that just by the moves the Broncos have made, that they've narrowed that gap considerably so that if a Tyreek Hill gets suspended and the Broncos are in the conversation for the second seed? You can't just close the gap by having somebody come back down to you.
Yeah.
You have to climb up.
Yeah, you have to climb up, and they're going to be able to climb up because you just look at what the Broncos did last year. They beat Oakland once, and then they lost to Oakland once. They beat the Chargers once and lost to the Chargers once. As far as Kansas City, you had a great opportunity to beat Kansas City here. I think that was on Sunday night where Case Keenum, the underthrow. But even before that, you know, or the overthrow to DT. Even before that, the Broncos were up by 10 points going into the fourth quarter, and they weren't able to close that, to keep their foot on the pedal and basically close the game out. So I anticipate Rick Scangarello, and I anticipate that Joe Flacco, they're going to be a lot more aggressive, where now, because of Joe Flacco has the experience, been to a Super Bowl, has been a Super Bowl MVP, now he could say, hey, you know what, if Rick Scangarello calls in a play on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 5, and Joe Flacco doesn't like it, he's going to be able to say, hey, coach, no, not that one, like, switch the play. You know, I saw Peyton do it. I saw Phillip Rivers do it. I mean, when you're older, when you have that credibility at that quarterback position, you're able to do things like that. Well, Case Keenum wasn't doing that. We saw it last year. I mean, there was too much times where it's like, oh, well, it's 3rd and 3. Okay, we're going to run the ball up the middle instead of trying to exploit the defense and exploit what they have, the personnel that's out there. So they're going to be a lot better because of Joe Flacco and because of how much football he has played, but also being that he's working with a young, innovative mind at the offensive coordinator that's a first-time offensive coordinator, that they're going to lean on each other. So they're going to be able to win more games that way. So if they in that fourth quarter, if Case Keenum completes that throw to DT, now the Broncos would have split with every team in this division. And that's a nice stepping stone to get to where you need to be. So you win one against KC, and like we said earlier, if Tyreek Hill's out, your chances increase tremendously of beating KC. You're in good shape.
It is so hard to handicap Kansas City right now. I mean, don't know what the defense is going to look like. New scheme, loss of players. Tyreek Hill, if he's gone, what does that mean for Mahomes? There's an idea, even though it wasn't his rookie season, it was technically his first year as a starter. There's always that feeling that guys going into their second year regress a bit. This is a hard team to handicap in the division.
Yeah, it is a hard team to handicap. And here's the thing. I mean, you hope that he regresses because, I mean, the season that he had last year in his first year of starting, I mean, 50 touchdowns. I mean, how do you get better than that?
If he gets
better than that, it's just like, are you kidding me? So you're going to hope that he regresses. But, I mean, Andy Reid does a great job in how he schemes stuff. And they understand how to play to the strengths of their quarterback. They did a nice job in not handcuffing Patrick Mahomes in his first year and just let him go out there and play loose.
But the Chargers, I don't see them doing anything different. I mean, I don't see them going anywhere. So this makes the division, I don't know, it's more like a Kansas City is the X factor if you're going to grade where the Broncos are in this division. It was like a 6-game difference between first and second and where the Denver was last year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What did Kansas City win last year? Like 13 games or something like that?
Yeah, 12-4.
12-4, and then what was the Chargers around the same thing?
12-4, yeah, exactly. The Chargers were the quietest
12-4 team in the league.
I mean, they were so quiet. Everyone was all excited about Patrick Mahomes, and the national media was embracing him. But here was Philip Rivers just winning games, and then 1 minute you woke up and you're like, oh, you know what? Kansas City's not really running away with the West yet.
Yeah.
Like everybody else had to sort of catch up what we were paying attention to in the division.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the good thing about the Chargers that not a lot of people were paying attention is their ability to adapt. You know, you saw them against the Ravens towards the end of the season last year when the Ravens went into L.A. and beat them. And then, well, you saw them 3 weeks later just completely change up the scheme and literally dismantle the Ravens in the playoffs. So their ability to adapt is phenomenal. And as far as being able to do that in the NFL, that's what you need. You saw when Kansas City got the week off from the first week of the playoffs. Then all of a sudden, Kansas City had a defense against the Colts, absolutely dismantled them, but didn't have a defense all year. So they were able to adapt. Then you saw New England's defense. It was a roller coaster ride all season, but then in the playoffs, just play absolutely lights out. And they regress a little bit against Patrick Mahomes, but then they go to and play the Rams in the Super Bowl and hold them to 3 points. So, I mean, the better teams in this league are the teams that are able to adapt. And Kansas and the Chargers are one of those teams that are able to adapt on the fly and put a high quality of football out there on the field.
You think the West is the best division in the AFC?
Absolutely. I played my whole career in the West. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a great division. I mean,
it is a great division.
Week in, week out, you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to win games. I mean, look at what happened with the Broncos last year. After they beat the Steelers, then they beat the Chargers. Then it's just like, whoa. And then you go play Cincinnati and they win. But then we're saying, like, hey, the Broncos could beat the Chargers at home. The Broncos could also go into Oakland and beat them. And then if we win against San Francisco, we're a 10-win team. Like, we're literally right there. And that's just how the AFC West has always rolled. I remember from my first year in this league, we went 8-8 with Tim Tebow, and we won the division. I mean, granted, we had a run out after the game. We lost to the Chiefs that game, and we had a run into the locker room and see the outcome of the Oakland versus Chargers game to see who was in. But and then ultimately, I think it was Oakland that won that put us in or something like that. But ultimately, that just tells you right there that year after year, it's going to be close. It's going to be who could win this game to get in. And, you know, 12-4 for the Chargers, 12-4 for Kansas City. I mean, those are great records. Those are great seasons. And for the Chargers to go in at 12-4 and be a wild card, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, to think about where we were towards the end of the season where the Chargers legitimately could have been a number one seed. I mean, we didn't know. It was so topsy-turvy. But you look at the turnover so what's going on in the other divisions. I mean, look at the North, for example. The Steelers lose some key players in Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, no longer the Killer Bees. Don't know what it looks with James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, but if you look at that division, all of a sudden the Browns are good. I mean, there could be twists there. The Dolphins are going to tank a bit. The Jets, we still don't know. The Bills aren't very good. So the Patriots win that division. The South is interesting with Nick Foles, but there's still some, you know, conversations about what Tennessee is going to do. But it seems like the West, even though you got Oakland there and they got a little bit better, but we're not sure. And Denver's improved in a lot of places. Those two teams at the top really set this division apart. There's no other division where two teams are that good competing for a number one seed in the AFC.
Realistically, you look at this, the West, and you say, hey, you know what? Okay, the Chargers are there. What's going to happen with Tyreek Hill? We have no idea. Oakland, they got three first round picks, four picks in the first 35 picks of this year's draft. It can literally go anyway. And you just look at it and say, man, at the end of the day, any one of these teams could actually win this division. It's just the right pieces. You know, if the Broncos go and get an offensive lineman, they go get a stellar tight end in the draft, and they go get an inside linebacker like a Devin Bush, or, you know, because Devin White, you know, selfishly, he ran a 4.42 and just now he's going top five, so we're not going to have a chance to get him. But if the Broncos go get the guys that they need to get, I mean, oh my gosh, they could be right there at the top two. And, you know, Kansas City, I mean, as far as defense-wise, I mean, you think Kansas City and Oakland, they're the weakest, but Oakland has more draft picks in order to address that, and you just don't know what's going to happen with Kansas City's defense.
And what if Joe Flacco actually has a decent year? All right, so what if he doesn't? So he doesn't throw 50 touches, but he's effective enough. He throws more than Case Keenum, doesn't throw as many interceptions, is productive and very efficient.
Yeah.
It's more than six wins. I mean, yeah. It's more, you know, puts him in the upper point of 500.
Yeah, there's two games last year that I know that Joe Flacco would have had an immediate impact, and this team would have been at least 8-8. And that's the first Kansas City game when they're up by 10 points, and literally they take their foot off the gas pedal, but also Case Keenum overthrows that throw to DT a little bit. But also later on in the season when they played against the Texans here, just not being able to get in better field goal range in order to seal the deal. So I know Joe Flacco would have been a little bit more aggressive, and they would have been kicking a shorter field goal right there. So that would have been 8-8 right there.
All right, what are the better moves that the Broncos have made so far this offseason? And what are the best? We'll tackle that next.